In 2 Timothy 2, the first two verses there, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So in the context of the preaching of the gospel, the ministry, teach what I taught you to others who will also be able to teach. The gospel is passed on by people that God calls to preach and teach. Paul said he laid his hands on. He acknowledged that Timothy was blessed to teach the gospel. And Paul, in these next several verses, he gives us analogies of what it is to serve the Lord in the ministry in this world. So you see the context of it. The three analogies he gives are that of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Now, there are two aspects of being a soldier that are given. And we could take each one of these. We all know what a soldier is and what a soldier does, and you could run a long way with that. But I believe I'll just stick to just the aspects of that that are in this verse for the most part. And then there's one aspect of each of the others that is given. So four things altogether that we're to consider and be committed in regarding the ministry of Christ, because all three of these have to do with commitment. None of them are to be taken lightly. So look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word hardness means to suffer and to endure hardships and troubles. Everybody knows that a soldier must be ready and able and willing to do that. The word endure indicates that it's not just a hard patch that you got to go through every once in a while. It's a constant thing. The whole business is tough. The whole business of being a soldier is tough. And always is. And so, remember that word endure. And I want to emphasize again something that I always want to emphasize when we're looking at Scripture regarding the ministry and commitment and service to God. When Paul wrote this, outward afflictions were a big part of what he was talking about. There was physical persecution of the church in that time. Now we don't suffer a whole lot of that. Certainly there are people that don't like us because we don't preach what most churches preach. We don't believe we have a different God than most religious people have. They have a God that tries to do things, but he can't unless you let him. What kind of God is that? They have a God that wants to save sinners. If only they... What sinners do is the problem, not the solution. And you doing one more thing ain't going to get you out of what you've already done. You need God to save you. Grace is not what religion says it is. Grace is God freely and fully saving you just because he wants to. And God's word to sinners is come, ask, bow, believe. Not do something for me and I'll do something for you. That's not it. Now, as I said, you know, there may be people that don't like us a whole lot these days, but they can't really do much about it right now. But our enemies now, the hardships we face now that we do face, we don't suffer a lot of physical persecution, but what we do fight against are the enemies that are the most insidious of them all. Don't ever forget this. We fight against ourselves. We fight against our own evil nature. We fight against our own lukewarm disinterest, our own pride, our own selfishness, our own pettiness, our own tendency to be busybodies in other people's business. And listen to me this morning. Listen carefully to this statement if you don't hear anything else. If we were attacked by an outside enemy, I'll give you an example that everybody knows about. If the idiot, like the idiot that came and camped out in the parking lot in Danville, most of you know about that, camped out in the parking lot and preached against, in the parking lot, what the pastor of the church preached. Maligned the pastor and tried to teach things that were contrary to the gospel right in the parking lot. If we were attacked like that somehow, that's about as bad as it gets in our day. You know, they're not coming yet with guns and saying you can't say that in this county. But if we get attacked by an outward enemy like that, that would make this church stronger. You know it would, wouldn't it? We would rally together and we'd end that pretty quick, don't you reckon? I feel like we could put a stop to that pretty easy, pretty quick. And we would rally to do that. That would make us stronger. But just not minding your own business can destroy this church. Now you think about that. Physical persecution would likely make us stronger. But just not minding your own dang business. Just being a busybody, another minute, just being petty. I've seen it destroy churches. Think about that. It's insidious, isn't it, what we fight against? We fight against our own evil nature, our own pettiness, our own pride, our own hurt feelings and foolishness that has nothing to do with the gospel. Gospel's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. Worshiping God is precious. It's not to be trifled with. It's not to be taken for granted. Denying yourself is hard. Endure hardness. It's tempting to just say amen and go home right now on that. Denying yourself is hard. Endure hardness. It takes grace. Be strong in the grace. That's how this chapter started. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And endure hardness. Boy, I hope I'm preaching to myself more than you even. Weather the storms of pride and offense that sweep through your heart. Endure the fires of the furnace of anger and temptation that would consume us in a minute if it wasn't for the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hunker down when disappointment and confusion come. When an unforgiving, vengeful spirit rages within you, shut it down with all of the understanding that's within you, with all of the love for Christ that's within you by His grace. Shut it down. Fight. Endure. Look what Paul says in verse 6. May the Lord give you understanding in these things. Understanding that we might recognize our destructive flesh when it rises up. It happens so fast and so naturally, often we don't even know it's happening until the damage is done. God help us. May He give us grace to resist it. You know that word from Scripture? Resist. Resist the devil. Resist. It's not the devil attacking me with a pitchfork that I'm worried about so much. It's the devil right here. And there are many other things we could talk about that would pertain to the hardness of the ministry as compared to a soldier. Just not being such a huge idiot ourselves that we destroy peace and fellowship and ultimately worship. I think that's probably enough. Then the second thing about this being a soldier of Christ, there's two aspects, remember, of being a soldier that are mentioned specifically. Endure hardness. What's hard about worshiping God? You. Me. Endure. Fight. Resist. But look at the second thing in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So first of all, fight against the difficulties of the ministry. Not so much outward attacks anymore, but inward troubles, inward destructive realities of our nature. And then second, don't be distracted. Don't be drawn away by the affairs of this life. Notice that it doesn't say the evil of this life. That's interesting. Think about that with me for a second. It doesn't say, don't be entangled in the evil of this life. It doesn't say, don't be entangled in the disasters of this life. It says, don't be entangled in just the everyday affairs of this life. It doesn't take much to draw us away, does it? Just the promise of a little more prosperity for our flesh. Just the promise of a little bit more comfort in this present life. Just the satisfaction of the flesh, just even a little bit. It doesn't say the evil. It just means business. That word affairs, it just means the business of this life. Not only in the sense of commerce, like business, although it is often someone's profession, professional occupation that consumes their time and effort. That is often the case. But listen, when our Lord told the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, listen to a portion of that, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth. It's talking about the seed that the sower. The seed is the word of God, he said. The sower is the Son of Man. The seed, and then some of the seeds fell among thorns, which when they have heard, these are people that when they've heard the gospel, they go forth and they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Choked. That gives us a little bit of an expanded understanding of what he means in our text by the affairs of this life. That just the daily thing. Just the pleasures of this life. And I enjoy the pleasures of this life, don't you? Don't get distracted by it, though. Don't get distracted. Don't live for that. Don't make an idol of it. Don't be choked by it. Our main business in this world from which everything else flows is the ministry. Worshiping God, honoring God. Preaching the gospel, doing what he gave us to do. Riches and the pursuit of riches, pleasures, always needing to be entertained and or at leisure or pursuing recreation or even illicit pursuits. Whatever it is in this world that draws you away from the worship of God, that matters more to you than the worship of God and the ministry of Christ. Cares, the word cares there, the affairs and the cares. That word cares, where we just read, means to divide with the idea of distraction. A soldier has a mission. And everything he does has something to do with that mission. He eats in order to have the energy to carry out his mission. He enjoys the food. He enjoys it. He'd rather eat something that wasn't dehydrated probably than something that is dehydrated. Every once in a while, you know, you might get a good meal in the army. But you see my point. There's nothing wrong with taking pleasure in that. But the point of it is the mission. Even the common affairs of life, the point of them is the mission. God's going to be glorified in this world with you or without you. By His grace, I want in on it. How about you? He sleeps so that he'll be strong in pursuit of the mission. A believer does all that he does for the glory of God. Even when he's plowing his field, I always go back to that because the scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. And that's such an instructive verse because you think, how can plowing a field be evil? Because the wicked man who doesn't have any regard for God, he does it all for himself. He doesn't thank God for what he has. He doesn't thank God for his field and the seed and the rain and the sunshine. He doesn't thank God for the energy that he has. He does it all in pride. Look what I've done. Guess I'll have to tear down these little barns and build bigger ones because look how much I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Thou fool! The point of it is the mission. The glory of God, the worship of God, the service of God. And let me say one thing extra about the service of God. God don't need you. You realize that, right? He doesn't need anybody. God says in this book, if I needed anything, would I ask you? That's a rhetorical question. He's God. He uses us because He loves us. When we do something for God, it's really Him doing something for us. But a believer plowing his field even, he's thanking God for all of his blessings. And he will use the produce of his effort and sweat and blood for the glory of his God. By God's grace. Now look at verse 5, the second, I guess, analogy here is what it is. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now this is an athlete. You're trying to master, whether you're, you know, boxing, you're fighting against somebody. Paul uses that analogy in Scripture also. Or whether you're running a race, that analogy is also used in Scripture. And we may look at some of that. I believe we will. But whatever it is, you're not crowned. You're not awarded unless you strive lawfully. In other words, according to the rules. It's not complicated. No matter what it is, there are rules. You can't just do what you want to do. Just one aspect of being an athlete here is given. There are others in the Word of God, though, so let's look at those. If the Scripture says it plainly and clearly, I want to see it with regard to this same thing, the idea. So turn to Hebrews 12 with me, if you would, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every encumbrance, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a lot of speculation about what the sin that so easily besets us is. And I don't think we have to be specific about that. examine yourself. Whatever it is what it is, right? Some say it's unbelief, and I wouldn't argue for a second with that. But it seems like what he follows up with, lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience, run with endurance. The sin, I think, that does so easily beset us is giving up, quitting, being lackadaisical, lukewarm. Didn't God say he hates that? Seems like that's what it's saying. Considering the context, run with patience, with endurance, with steadfastness. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Don't look within yourself to see, am I going to make it? Have I got what it takes? You don't. You don't. Remember the parable of our Lord? He said, what man sets out to build a house without sitting down first and figuring out whether he's got enough money to build it? You don't. You don't. Looking unto Jesus, the one that gave you faith, and if you die with faith, the one that'll see to that, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see that? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You're not going to endure. You're not going to hold up. You're not strong enough, but he was. You see that? Oh my. Endured the cross, despising the shame, counting the shame as a small thing because of his love for his sheep. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, lest you despair when you look within and see you ain't gonna cut it. Don't despair, because he did it for you. He did it for you. He started the race for you, and he's gonna cross the finish. He crossed the finish line for you. It's finished. Listen, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. Thinking about this analogy of striving for masteries. And I know this is long. I know that 45 minutes is a long time. I think about that sometimes. Should I just start preaching 20 minutes? Because I'm just like you are. I have the attention span of a cocker spaniel, just like you do. But bear with me for a little while. This is so important. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but there's just one winner? He said, run like that. Run like that. Knowing that there's just one. Only one receiveth the prize. And it's a prize that we got to have. We got to have. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Where is that, Paul? In Christ Jesus. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I don't have any doubt where I'm running to. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I'm running to Christ just as fast as I can go. I'm not unsure. I'm not looking for any other goal or destination. And so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. This ain't just hitting a practice ball or whatever you call those things. Punching bag. This is a real fight. I'm not just shadow boxing here. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. But our text gives one simple directive, doesn't it? Follow the rules. Strive lawfully. And that word lawfully means strive according to what is established. Strive according to what is established. There's no shortcuts in this race. There's no cheating in this fight. In gospel terms, the rules of our engagement are very simple. Listen to it in Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel that we preached unto you unto another gospel, which is not another. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. There's just one gospel and everything else is antichrist. So that's the direct, that's according to the rules, that which is established. Christ is the foundation which another foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen to Matthew 28:18. Listen to this carefully. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And that word is authority and ability. It's not given to you, it's given to Him. That's why we go. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. We preach not in our own strength, but in His strength. We preach not according to our own authority. We preach under His authority. What I say by His authority. And listen, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, teach what? In that other verse, the gospel. But listen, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What are we teaching? What He taught us. And lo, I'm with you always. You know, that's my favorite part. God, don't, if you're not going with us, don't let us go. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Say what I said. It's that simple. That's the directive. Say what I said. Our goal is Christ. Our course is Christ. And our reward is Christ. So run that you may obtain. Oh, verse 6, the third analogy. The husbandman, that's a farmer. That's a man that's over a farm or a vineyard or a household with the idea of what it says here. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So it has to do with produce. And a key word in this is laboreth. In this analogy, laboreth. Everybody knows that's labor. If you're going to take a seed that God gives, a little tiny seed that you can't even hardly hold in your hand if the wind's blowing, and someday put some big old ripe fresh tomatoes on the table, there's a lot in between that. There's a whole lot in between that, isn't there? And God, it's not just going to happen. God's going to use means, isn't He, to get it to that place. He does in spiritual things too. He uses means. It's Him doing it. But He uses means. Labor. If there's going to be any fruits, then there must be labor. And again, it's hard labor. It's not easy labor. Tilling, plowing, sowing, weeding, harvesting, all of it burdensome. And when a farmer's not doing all of that, he's fixing his tools or building some type of infrastructure. Winter is not time off if you're an actual serious farmer. If that's the way you make your living, you're as busy in the winter as you are in the summer. Why would anybody endure all that, much less enjoy it? Because of the fruits, because of the results. Enjoying the fresh, delicious, life-giving produce is worth every drop of sweat and blood and tears. God's vineyard, His farm, is a very simple operation. Not an easy one, but a simple one. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 3:5. And let's look at a couple of scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 3:5. Here's God's vineyard. And boy, there's a lot of scripture. If you wanted to study some on your own, this would be a good thing to look into the Lord's parables about the husbandman and the wheat and the chaff and thorns. But look at this, 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? There were those that were bragging because of who they heard the gospel from. He said, who do you think we are? We're just ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. The Lord made us ministers. He sent us to you. What is there to boast of? How are you going to believe in him of whom you've not heard? How shall you hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except God sends them? It's all his doing, isn't it? All of it. I have planted. God uses means. The seed is the word of God. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What is he trying to say? What does he mean by that? Here's what he means by that. So then neither, verse 7, is he that planteth anything. He's nothing. Planting, the seed is not us doing something for God. That's God just using us because he loves us. Neither is he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's one purpose. There's one ability to even do that. And there's one purpose for doing that. The glory of God in the preaching of the gospel. The glory of Christ. They're one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. And that's reward. That's not rewards in heaven. You know, I'm going to have a bigger yo-yo than you are. That's such foolishness. Just the word grace ought to dispel any foolishness like that from anybody's mind and heart. That's results that God uses these means to obtain. For we are laborers together with God. What an amazing privilege that is. You are God's husbandry. God's husbandry. You are God's building. This is God's work. This is his ministry. You'll never, unless I'm off my rocker, you'll never hear me say the words, my ministry. I don't have a ministry. Christ does. And I'm just happy to be in on it. What an honor it is to be in on it. How does he use us and still get glory? I don't know. That's how he gets glory, right? He said, I chose the weak and the foolish that the excellency may be of God and not of us. That's what I am, weak, foolish, base, a thing that is not. That's what Paul's saying. We're nothing. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. You know who the foundation is. Paul tells us, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And another man buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon now. For other foundation can no man lay. It's all Christ. The foundation, the building, the increase, the result, all of it, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. One thought about this now. It could be a thousand, but just one thought about this. None of these things, a soldier, athlete, or a farmer, none of it happens overnight. Hence the word endure. None of these things happen overnight. A soldier has to train and train more. And wars drag out for years. Service, as long as you're serving, the service never ends. You're a representative of your country, even when you're not fighting. Endure. Soldiers endure. Athletes have to train for years. You know, you're not just going to jump out there and decide one day you want to go to the Olympics. I think I'll go to the Olympics. Okay, that's great. But between that decision and the reality of it, it's years, years of grueling dedication, sacrifice. Farmers also become successful only with a lot of knowledge that doesn't just happen overnight. You don't just decide you're going to be a farmer either, do you? There's a lot of research involved in that, a lot of trial and error, a lot of experience has got to be earned. Learning from mistakes and overcoming real hardships. What do you do when swarms of insects threaten your livelihood? What do you do when it just don't rain for a long time? What do you do? And even within each crop cycle, great patience is necessary. You see the little seedling pop up, just a couple of tiny little leaves, maybe. Or you just look at the barren field before spring comes, and it's hard to believe that there will ever be life in it again. And then after weeks and weeks of getting up before sunrise, collapsing into your bed at night, you might see some tiny little sprouts eventually. The gospel ministry is defined in Scripture by words like strive, endure, endeavor, resist, fight, run, and how many more could we name? Those are the words that describe the ministry of the gospel. Warreth. But what a cause. What a cause. It's not so much a drudgery when you can tell sinners that a Christ who never tried to do anything saves sinners like you. Boy, I love telling people that. He never once tried to do anything. If he wants to save you, he'll save you. Come to that one. Come to that one and be saved. When you can preach the blood of Christ that actually redeemed everyone for whom he died on Calvary, it's not such a drudgery. It helps sometimes to sing while you're working. What if while you labor away, you can sing, "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side." Maybe when the day seems long, you could hum the tune, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand." And Paul said in verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding." You're not going to figure it out, are you? May God give us this understanding that He uses means. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to concentrate. You're going to have to strive. You're going to have to labor. You're going to have to do these things. And God's going to have to give you the victory on a silver platter, or you're not going to win. Is that clear? It's so easy to say that's contradictory. Well, is it up to us or is it up to Him? It's up to Him. You're not ever going to find anywhere in this book where anything is up to you. It's not. It's up to Him. Consider, think, strive, study to show thyself approved. And may God give you understanding, because that's the only way you're going to get it. Is that clear? Apply thine heart, Solomon said. My son, apply thine heart to wisdom. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then, of course, if you're going to get it, God will have to give it to you. Ask. If any man lack wisdom, anybody? Any spiritual fools in here? Anybody that can't make one and one make two spiritually? Let him ask of God, who gives liberally. He gives freely and upbraideth not. Look that up. What a tender, kind, and gracious Savior we have. Ask Him. Let's pray.